We were singing that song earlier, This World Is Not My Home. I was tempted to sing This Home Is Not My Home, but I didn't. Oh, great. Well, take your Bibles and go to the book of Romans, chapter 12. We'll get there in a few minutes. Today is Sunday, May the 5th, 2024. Final fellowship meeting here in this house. We moved into this house in October of 1993. You were telling me it was the October 20th, right? You remember that. That's cool. And the first fellowship that we did, Carla was here for that. I believe the Petersons were here in this house for the first fellowship at this place. And my brother Bob was here as well. And Petersons, you guys were going to Dave Bailey's fellowship, and then found out there were kids in my fellowship that were close in age, so they were going to both for a while. But I know some of you have probably heard this story, but I thought it would be good to share it with you about how we got this house, which is really a great God story. When we got married in Carlsbad, New Mexico, is where we were living. And then shortly after that, we moved to Denver. And I went to get some education in the radio business. And from there, we moved to Panama City Beach, Florida. And then after a year and a half, we moved to Little Rock, Arkansas. Actually lived in two places in Little Rock, Arkansas. Then I got a job for a short time in Denver, moved back to Denver. Then we moved to New Haven, Connecticut, got a radio job there. I think we lived in two different places there. And that's when we first got involved with the Bible class in 75. And after New Haven, Connecticut, we moved to Oklahoma City. And I believe we lived in one house there, I think. And then from Oklahoma City, we came to Phoenix, and we lived at 83rd Avenue and Indian School. Everything west of there was farms at that time. So we were here for, I think, 2.5 years, and then we went into the Way Corps Leadership Training Program, lived for a year in Indiana, and then on our interim year, we were assigned to Brooklyn, New York. So went there for a year, then came back to Indiana for a year, and then we were assigned to Iowa, and we moved to Ames, Iowa. And then a short time after that, we moved to Des Moines, Iowa. So after 4 years in Iowa, we moved to Minnesota. And I think we were in two houses in Minnesota. And then after all of that, we moved to California, to Oceanside. And we were in two different houses in Oceanside. So then we decided to move back to Phoenix. It was a place Kathy and I had talked about, of all the places we lived, which was a lot, that we loved Phoenix. And we came here in June of 92. And I told my kids, we're not moving anymore. You'll be able to stay in the same school. And their only thing they wanted, well, can we have a pool? Yeah, we'll get a pool. So we actually lived right down the street, about two blocks, renting a house. And so everything was set, and my kids will be able to stay in the same school. I think Paula started her junior year. And the house was a rental house, but the owner living in Saudi Arabia doing some kind of work or whatever, his wife got really ill, and he was going to have to move back to the States, and we were going to have to move out. And my biggest concern was, didn't want the kids to change schools. So we were looking everywhere for a rental, couldn't find one. And one day, Kathy said, hey, there's a house for sale right up the block, for sale by owner. Sorry.
Yeah, sell people, though.
And I'm like, we can't afford to buy a house. We had no credit because we'd never had any credit cards. Just, you know, pay as you go. So I think maybe just to kind of appease her, all right, let's go look at it. And we walked into that entryway, and I didn't know it at the time. She didn't know it at the time, but we both had the same thought. This is our house. And I didn't even need to see the rest of the house. It could have been burnt out, but I was like, this is where we're gonna live. So it was for sale by owner. So we went back home. This was on a Friday. And then we called the guy and said, hey, could we like do a rent to own? You know, like maybe rent it for a year and then, nope, I'm selling it. I said, okay. So at the time, if we were going to get into a deal with him, we were going to need to give him $5,000 earnest money. And then I think this was in June. In March, someone very unexpectedly sent us a gift of $5,000. I've never gotten a gift like that before. And I was like, holy cow. So at the time we got the gift, there was like a million things we could have, you know, taken care of some bills, do this and that. And we just decided to let it sit there. So this guy's saying he needs $5,000 earnest money. So we said, okay, we'll do the deal. Brought him a check for $5,000. Have no idea how we are going to get the down payment of $30,000 down payment. No idea, except praying. So, told the kids we're going to be moving into this house over here. And we just explained the situation to them that we were praying to get the down payment. And I remember Mike going, well, Dad, what if we don't get the money? And I said, we are. Had no plan B. So, had to be out of that house by October something. And we just kept praying. And then we would purposely drive out of our way to drive by the house and pray as we drove by. So now it's, and I double checked to see what I could get from a loan company. And I basically didn't even qualify for $10,000 to get a loan. So, you know, we just didn't have a credit score. Didn't have many bills, you know, car and rent and all that. So anyway, we're just praying, and we're praying, and we needed to go to the title company on Tuesday with 30 grand. And I had eye surgery on Thursday, and I can picture it to this day. I was laying in the bed in the afternoon with frozen peas, which work really good for ice packs. And the phone rang, and a believer called me and hadn't heard from him for a while and was kind of out of the blue. Said, how you doing? I said, oh, good. Had some eye surgery Thursday. Oh, how's that going? Okay, it's going fine. And then he said, I heard you're going to buy a house. I said, yep. We close on Tuesday. He goes, well, how's that going? I said, well, we're praying for down payment. Just don't have that together yet, but we're praying. This is Saturday. Tuesday we need to be there. He goes, well, how much of a down payment do you need? I said, it's a lot. It's huge. But how much is it? It's just big. How much is it? I said, it's 30 grand. He goes, oh, okay. Then he stopped for a minute and he went, well, today's Saturday, so really wouldn't work if I tried to mail you a check. Give me your bank account number. I'm like, what? He said, give me your bank account number. I want to help you. I said, okay. And so gave him my account number. And then so now it's Monday morning, praying for the house. And he called me Monday morning and he said, if you check your balance on your account, you'll see there's a bit of a bump in there. And I had never expected this. So when I checked my bank account, there was $33,000 in there.
Wow.
We never discussed this, but he knew that I believed in tithing and figured if you just gave me the 30, I'd want to tithe on it and I'd be short. So he put 33 in there.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, me and Kathy were crying. And so I called him up and I said, I can't believe you did this. He said, it's all God's money anyway.
That's right.
I said, well, it's going to take me a long time to pay you back. He said, pay me back? It's a gift.
Wow.
It's a gift. I had no idea, you know, that he could do that or whatever. So Tuesday, we walk into the title company. Here's the check, and they handed us the keys. So that is the backstory of how we got this house. And, you know, 2 weeks ago, I was sharing on the word sanctified, which that word, the Greek word that's translated sanctified, sometimes is translated holy. And I was sharing that it means set aside from the rest for a purpose. I want to do a follow-up this morning. I've titled it, What is Your Purpose? This house has been a sanctified house, set apart from the others for us, for my family, for a purpose. And the purpose was, number one, a place for us to live, you know, shelter, a place for us to live. Secondly, it was a place for us to raise our children. And thirdly, it was a place to promote God's word. We've done that over the last 31 years a number of ways. There have been in this house hundreds of fellowships. I mean, over 31 years. Hundreds of fellowships like this. We've done classes in here, at least two weddings in this house that I can remember. Charles and Debbie Gibbs got married right in this room. We've done meals. A lot of you have been part of the meals. Little small meals and then bigger meals. We've done a lot of those in this house. A lot of counseling took place in this house, which Kathy was so good one-on-one with people. Housing for folks at various times when they needed it. Had you guys over when your roof got blown away or something? It's been a wonderful place for me to do many of the projects that I've done over the years. Wrote two books here, numerous recordings. The first real recordings that I did were the seven church epistles, which took me like forever. And you even edited some of those, if I remember right. So did Chris, maybe some others that I forgot. If you edit something that's printed, it's much easier than editing something that is recorded. Because words can get right by you. But that project took a long time. But I did the stories for Joshua here, the healing words. By the way, I brought a bunch of these to Spokane to give away. If anybody wants this Healing Words CD, you're welcome to have it afterwards. It's just scriptures with music behind it. Scriptures related to healing. It's kind of like that one that Dr. Earl did years ago called, was it Healing Words? Or remember the cassette we used to have a long time ago? It was just verses and stuff. And I just did, I've done a bunch of things, so it's been a great place for me. So many memories in this house. And after we close up here, I got a couple pictures of our family shortly after we moved here. So a couple of family pictures, put those over with. So we're going to start in Romans chapter 12. God tells us that as born again ones, we are sanctified, set apart from those who are not born again, set apart for a purpose. So what is our purpose? We begin in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Well, there's the therefore. I beseech you, therefore. So I learned a long time ago, when you see therefore in the Bible, you ask the question, what's the therefore, therefore? And therefore, after all that he's presented to us in the chapters before this, now, therefore, because of all of that, and really that would be chapters 1 through 8 of Romans, because chapters 9, 10, and 11 are a parenthesis. So, and I think you know all the great stuff that's in chapter 8. So anyway, after all of that stuff, therefore, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We don't need to die for God. Jesus already died for us. We live a living sacrifice, holy or sanctified, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or your, you could even say, your logical divine service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to everyone that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man, every woman, the measure of faith, or the measure of the right way of believing. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Office is like function. There's different functions. Like in the human body, eye has a different function than your hand. Hand has a different function than your leg. So there are different functions. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, well, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Gifts here is referring to various ministries or functions given by God to the body of Christ to minister or serve in different manners. Having gifts differing, verse 6, according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Or there in verse 7 is, or if it's another ministry or another way of serving, then let us minister or serve according to the proportion of faith, or the proportion of the right way of believing. Or if it's teaching, then let us teach according to the proportion of the right way of believing. And then verse 8 begins with or, and like verses, verse 7, it would be or if another, and then it lists a number of other possible modes of service in the body. Verse 8, or he that exhorts, or if he is one who exhorts, then, you know, get busy exhorting. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth or leads, with diligence. He that shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Obviously, there are lots of ways to serve in the one body of Christ. And not every possible way of serving is mentioned here. But the point, I think you see, is serve. Serve. And verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. That means hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Love is key in service. The love of God in the renewed mind. Love is key in service. We're set apart for a purpose, and our purpose is to love and serve God. And how do we serve God? By serving his people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. This section that I think we're familiar with, we're going to start in verse 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. It's still the same one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, if the foot shall say, well, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Meaning, well, I'm not very important. Well, sure, you're a part of the body. And if the ear shall say, well, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, then where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, then where would the body be? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Meaning we're all important. And then the second example in this section, verse 21, the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. I don't need you. No, yes. Everyone is important and everyone is needed in the body. Nay, verse 22, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. From the working translation from Reverend Cummins, verse 23, and those members of the body that we suppose to be less honorable, we deck these with more abundant honor. And so our unattractive parts have more abundant elegance. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. It's like we just read in Romans, let love be without hypocrisy. We have the same care one for another, the same love for one another. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. When one person hurts, we hurt too. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's kind of different what you see in the world. Oh, that lucky guy. He sure is lucky. No, when one member in the body of Christ gets blessed, then we're all blessed that he got blessed. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular, an important member, a needed member. We're all important in God's eyes, and we're all needed in the body. And God has set some in the church. Now, beginning in verse 28, note, he's talking about in the church, which means when we gather together like this. Now, God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? These are rhetorical questions, where the answer is obviously no. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? In the church, when we get together here, you know, if everybody here, when we got together, would do interpretation of tongues, and then we go around the room again and everybody would do prophecy. See, we're talking about in the church. And then that verse 31 that sometimes is a little difficult, and there's great learning in the Walking in God's Power intermediate class. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. There's a number of places in this epistle of Corinthians where God uses the figure of speech irony. And that basically is used to express a truth by stating the opposite of what is meant. Don't covet what you think are the best gifts. You know, don't be like you read in the book of Acts, Simon the sorcerer, who wanted to give Peter some money so that he could have a ministry like Peter did. No, we don't want to be doing that. And so, you know, don't covet what you think are the best gifts, and yet show I you a more excellent way. And the more excellent way, a better thing than coveting, is laid out in chapter 13, which many times people take out of context. But when you look at it in the context of what's being presented here. So, let's read it. The more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. And when you speak in tongues, it is either a language of men or a language of angels. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, which is the love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation. You know, there's three kinds of love, basically. There's phileo love. City of Philadelphia was named after it. That's brotherly love. You know, I'll pat your back, you pat my back, God bless, I love you. Just brotherly love. Then there's eros. We all know what that is, right? Okay. And then there's, this is the Greek word agapeo, and it's the love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation. So though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not the love of God, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Just because you speak in tongues, and if you just don't have love, you're just a bunch of noise. And though I have prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith or believing so that I could remove mountains and have not the love of God, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I just give everything to the poor. And though I give my body to be burned, I go 19 hours a day just blessing people and doing this and doing that. And have not the love of God, it profits me nothing. Look how important the love of God is. That's why I mentioned earlier that the key in service is love, not duty. Well, I better do that. No, it's love. And then it explains it. Verse 4. The love of God suffers long and is kind. The love of God envies not. The love of God vaunteth not itself. Look how important I am. Is not puffed up, you know, putting on airs. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Whew. That's a good one. Rejoices not in iniquity. Serves them right. That serves. No. Rejoices. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Rejoices in God's word and how great God's word is. The joy of the Lord. The joy of his word. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things, endures all things. The love of God never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For when? Well, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is coming, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When the Lord returns. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then, when he comes back, people, then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. What a great day that's coming. And then that verse 13, and now abideth faith, or believing, and hope, and charity. Now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is what? The love of God. How big is the hope? It's huge. How big is believing? How big is love? The greatest of these is love. Isn't that awesome? I said earlier that key in serving is love. If you look at Galatians for a sec, just one verse in Galatians chapter 5, or maybe we'll read two, but Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. We have freedom in Christ. We are not under the law. You know, that verse in Corinthians where, I think it's in Corinthians, where Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are profitable. We're not under the law. Brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Are you a born-again believer? Yes. Then God says, by love serve one another. That's what God said to do. Anybody remember Dr. Werwell would be teaching and he'd go and he'd read something, you know, that God's word says, and then he'd go, I didn't write the book. That's what God says. And that's what God says to each one of us. By love, serve one another in this wonderful body that we're in. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, next book. Ephesians 4. This is talking about the ministries that God gave to the church. The ministries are given to the church. Sometimes we refer to them as the five gift ministries. But verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. Now that can't be spiritually, because spiritually we're complete, right? It says that in Colossians, we are complete. It says in Ephesians, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. So it's in the perfecting or the equipping of our walk with God. That's what the function of the ministries are. For the perfecting of the saints, or the equipping of the saints. To the end, or for the purpose, for the work of the ministry. We all do the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is not just for the gift ministries to do the work of the ministry. And the next phrase says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's not just the gift ministries that edify the body of Christ. We all do. You know, in Corinthians it talks about interpretation of tongues and prophecy bring what? Edification. So in a meeting, that's one way we can edify others, by bringing forth interpretation of tongues or prophecy. So for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. How long do I have to do that? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Don't get deceived. Don't get carried away with, ooh, that sounds like a cool ideology. Maybe that's, no, stay put. And then look what it says. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. We're all needed. We all have something to supply to the body of Christ, and we serve in love. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. How wonderful God set up this one body of Christ. With every member, God says, is important. Every member is needed. Every member has something to give, something to serve, something to bless, something to edify. So our purpose, again, is to love and serve God. And how do we serve God? By serving his people. And so it's like, whatever you do, whatever your long suit is, use your talents and your abilities to serve the body of Christ. And each and every one of us is important. We've read that. We're all important to God. We're all needed in the body of Christ. Well, I'm just a toe. I'm not. No, you're important. You know, how would you walk if you didn't have toes? Well, that's just my toes. Yeah, they're very important. Every one of us is important. We're not, as born-again believers, to just, I mean, we're set aside, right? But we're not set aside to just, you know, do our own thing and wait for the gathering together and hope nothing bad happens to us. We serve. And every person serves in different ways, and those different ways may change over time. We're going to wrap it up in Romans chapter 13. We're set apart for a purpose. And we saw 2 weeks ago where that same word, Jesus Christ, was set apart for a purpose. And he loved God and served God's people. And he had quite a purpose. Redeem mankind. Give his life for us. He did a wonderful job, didn't he? Romans 13 and the first part of Romans 13 is speaking concerning the gift ministries in the church, not government leaders, as some religious outfits teach. Obey the government, because God put it there. Really? Was he doing that in the 1930s in Germany? It's referring to the gift ministries, the first part of Romans 13. We're going to go to verse 8. Verse 8 says, "No, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Remember, they were trying to trip Jesus Christ, and they said, "What's the greatest commandment?" You know, they just wanted to trip him up. He said, "Well, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two is the whole law wrapped up." And that's, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night's far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let's walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But this is what God would like for us to do. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Philippians it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind he had was to love the Father, to love God his Father above all else. Remember when that guy came to him and said, "Good master, what should I do?" He said, "Why are you calling me good? There's one good, and that's God." And he put God first in his life, and that was his love for God, and then his love to serve God's people. And, you know, this put on the Lord Jesus Christ, that kind of brings us right back to where we started in Romans 12 about being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that we put into our minds who God says we are and what we have. You know, it's our identity. And as we learn and grow in who we are and what God's given us, then we see where God says, "And by the way, you're very important." "Who, me?" "Yeah, you. You're very important. And you're needed." "I'm needed?" "Yes." "Well, what should I do?" "Love God with all your heart and serve his people." "How do I serve?" "Whatever it is you do." Some people are just like prayer warriors. They just pray a lot, you know. And people that are like that, many times God tells them who to pray for. Other people are good at this. Some people are good at that. Just serve with love. And if you have a heart of love to serve, God will show you where you can serve and what you can do. You know, It's, you know, I thought about that when we were at the weekend in Spokane. There were not only in Spokane, but also in Colorado Springs. You know, there were people that were just doing things, getting ready for the meeting. And some of you may remember, he said it on a number of occasions. And, you know, the first time that you hear it, you're like, what? He said, the people that set up this room are just as important as the ones sitting here teaching. I'm like, what? I just set some chairs up. What is it? Just as important. It's all part of getting things ready so the word can live. And so we all have different ways of serving, and if we just have love in our heart, see ourselves as God sees us, I'm an important part of the one body. This is the best club to belong to. This is the best organization to belong to. Because the head of our organization is Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who one day is going to come back and grab us all, and we're going to be together in the clouds. So until then, God says, love and serve one another. Well, Father, thank you for the privilege of sharing your word here in this home for a long time. But thank you more than that for your wonderful word that you've given to each one of us to learn and grow, and thank you for your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, and that we can be part of your wonderful family, that you are our Father, and that we are all members in particular in this one body of Christ. Thank you, Father, for the great joy and privilege to share your word, and I just pray that all of us here today and those on the hookup, that we can all have a blessed week, loving you, trusting you, and serving your wonderful people. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.